Yeah, I'm here with who am I with?
Motherfucking.
Okay, and can I get your government name as well?
Oh,
it's still cool too.
Well, my name is.
Mhm.
Okay, AKA.
Okay.
You tuning in?
And, yeah. Yeah, and I'm conducting this interview. Tell me, how do you know the person that's interviewing you?
How do I know him? Well, it was all based on the one word, struggle. Met you at a low point, man. I had lost my job and actually, I was working at getting $8 an hour, CNN, downtown, ATL.
Okay, you was grinding.
And you know what I'm saying? I was on the food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to, you know, figure things out, like what's going on. You know, they got that SnapWorks 2.0, trying to find a job, you know, get better pay, all that good stuff. But then this nigga, goddamn, talking about some business shit. And I was like, oh shit, hold up now. He talking production. He talking about some shit that I can instantly benefit off of. So I'm like, okay, let me see what this man talking about. Yeah, I got a record label, this, that, that. Old Big Shot signing that. You know, a little flex, a little sauce and juice on it. I was like, all right, bro, let me holler at you real quick. You know what I'm saying? We talked. And it was just like, you know, I could instantly feel, you know, that just that spirit, you know what I'm saying? I could feel your energy. And I was like, shit, goddamn, bro. The fact that you're older, that always said something to me, because I was always looking for somebody who would be like my manager and would be older than me, but not too old to where he in a whole nother generation. You know what I'm saying? Like, you right there. So it was perfect. And then the fact that you listen, that you humble, you know what I'm saying? You ain't even cocky at all. Like, people wouldn't know, you know what I'm saying, until they start talking to you. But, you know, that's just what it is. But just because you have that hermetic type of vibe, you know, I can tell that I can get good leadership from you. Because you know how to listen as well as knowing how to, you know, lead. You know, something, you know, that I don't know. I know that, you know, with just period, that, you know, I know as an independent artist, you know, we have our egos about ourselves and we feel like, goddamn, pretty much I can do it on my own. We hear everybody on the radio talking about, I did it on my own, I did it on my own, self-made, you know, all this and that. But they really got a whole team behind them. Got another question?
Yeah, I got plenty more. And that was well spoken, I might add, in my opinion. So how long have you been living in Atlanta?
Well, man, I started actually legit living in Atlanta, really Decatur, east side Atlanta. What was this, like 2015? This is around 2015. I came here around November 2015, man. And, you know, I was just like, obviously Atlanta is the land of opportunity. So, you know, coming from where I come from, which is Rockdale County, aka Trapdale, you know, everybody is kind of in this closed box.
Rockdale's in Georgia.
Rockdale's in Georgia. It's mm-hmm. pretty much at the end of the east side. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like the literally, like, you know, two counties over.
Far east side.
Yeah, far east side. Mm-hmm. It's just far east side. That's all. So, you know,
How long have you been in Rockdale?
I've been in Rockdale since I was in the fifth grade, man.
Okay.
I grew up in Rockdale. So, you know, that's definitely where I'm hailing from right now.
Where'd you came from before that?
Well, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Milwaukee, Wisconsin is my state I was born in.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, my family, I got strong ties in Milwaukee. That's, you know, that's my pop side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the side that I was blessed to, you know, get to know. And, you know, just even just seeing the leadership from my grandfather, that's what even brought me to this place right now, where I have confidence to do what I do.
That's real. That's real. I would definitely want to, you know, touch more on family, how you feel about your relationship with your family.
I feel like my relationship with my family is distant. Because I've always been distant, you know, and that's, that word in itself, distant, explains everything, you know, everything wasn't in my will to be how it is right now, you know, some certain things my parents done, you know, right or wrong, led me to this point of where I'm at with my family. So, you know, at the end of the day, I love them, they love me, you know, I know that. You know, at the end of the day, they don't want me to die. They want me to stay alive. So, you know.
That's definitely.
But, you know, I keep them in mind, man. They always, they, you know, throughout my life, they've definitely checked in, have definitely helped me and reached out. So it's just like, as we solid, you know, as long as I'm, as far as I'm concerned, you know, the important things, they're there for the important things, for sure.
So you have siblings?
I have siblings, man. I'm actually the oldest of five.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, man, like, and it's just like, I'm the oldest, but I grew up, like, as the only child. Slick.
You that much older?
Mm-hmm. Not that I'm that much older, like,
mm-hmm.
It's just, we're just all far apart. Like, me and my brother, mm-hmm. that, you know, my mom had only had two kids. My dad had other children. So, you know, with that, like, my brother actually ran away when I was in middle school, and he ended up going to his dad's. And from that point on, from middle school on up, I was, you know, at the crib by myself. So it was just like, you know, I had other siblings, but I didn't have the time to have them all under my wing and me be able to touch them all how I want to. Ooh. And affect them like that, you know, which I really wish, but you know, that's not, you know, it is what it is, man.
Nah, definitely. Definitely. On another note, tell me about growing up in school.
Oh man.
I guess we could start with, maybe like middle school.
Growing up in middle school, it was tough because I was a weirdo, man. And I'm still a weirdo, and that's okay. Everybody, that is okay.
Okay.
That's okay.
I think it's very okay to be a weirdo.
Honestly, I feel like in this generation,
I think it's way cooler to be a weirdo now. Not so much back then, though.
Nah, not at all back then.
Yeah, not at
like
all.
I was suffering back then. My middle school, like, bruh, my shit was so dry, bruh.
They say the meat shall inherit the earth, so you just didn't peak yet.
I'm a late bloomer.
You a late bloomer.
I am a late bloomer too. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Something to be proud of.
Like, I developed myself to where I started to find out more about myself in middle school because of poetry.
Okay.
In middle school. In growing up in school, that was my biggest background, was poetry, because sixth grade the curriculum came. Shout out to Miss,
uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? She the one who taught me that shit. So from that point, you know, she encouraged me to keep going, and from there I was like, okay. So I loved the fact that it was everything that I needed at that point. Poetry provided the organization and substance and the therapy that I needed at that time, because, you know, it was just like, you know, sixth grade, like I said, I'm being the only child. My parents, like, my mom, I was living with my mom and her boyfriend. So it was just like,
you know, they weren't too, like, involved with my personal life.
Okay.
Like, so it was just, like, we all lived in that house, but it's like we didn't really actually communicate with each other. So, yeah, so, you know, school was really the only thing that provided me some type of hope towards a better future and this, that, and the other, which is, you know, crazy because I don't fuck with school.
You really enjoyed going to school like that, though?
Only because it provided things that weren't provided at my home. You see what I'm saying? Like I said, poetry, like, came along and... You know, once I found out how to start writing, bro, like...
When were you poetry guy? Like, when were you the best at the poetry? Or were you even the best at the poetry?
Man, I don't know every person who made poetry. Because, mm-hmm. you know, poets aren't, like, artists, like, rappers. They don't just be like, I write poetry, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And be spitting poetry bars. Like, okay. Motherfuckers write that shit in their class. It's like in the back, you know what I'm saying? Just in a cut on some cool shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, and at that time, like ninth grade is when I started full-fledged everything. The poetry, the rap, you know what I'm saying? It fused together to where, you know what I'm saying? From ninth grade on, I propelled from there, you know what I'm saying? But middle school, I had the foundation of poetry.
That's perfect because that's like evidence you was doing it before it was trendy. Or it was cool and shit like that. Nah, definitely.
Right, right.
Those people, I think, are the rawest. I was definitely doing this beat shit before there was YouTube tutorial videos.
Yeah, like, it came natural, you know what I'm saying? Like, this, it wasn't forced. Like, it was a gift that was already given to me. And through me learning poetry, of course I'm going to learn poetry and rhythm and poetry.
You gotta really be somebody to take it there, cause some people scared to take it there with the poetry shit.
Yeah, but I mean, that's where it all started.
So what is it about poetry that some rhyme and some doesn't?
Some rhyme and some don't. Cause you just say whatever comes. I mean, there is no preference, because with poetry it's infinite. You know what I'm saying? Infinite possibilities on what type of poem you can make. So it's just like, you know, the poetry that rhymes, you know, some poetry is just literally you talking through, you know, stream of consciousness. So you just saying things, you saying whatever it may be. You may use poetic terms, you know, things like that to make it sound like an actual poem, but like it may not even rhyme. You know,
like,
but then
like anything can be a poem, but that's the case though, right? They don't have to rhyme and...
Well, you got to think about, let's say, for instance, a speech. A speech has logos, pathos, and ethos.
Okay, I don't know what that is, but I heard that.
All right, so these are different terminologies in speech that people learn, but it's also used in poetry as well. It's, you know, the logical, emotional, and... Shit, I forgot the other one. But, you know, around that concept. So it's just like they use, like, you know, I'm gonna have to read something.
Okay.
I gotta read you something. I dismiss myself from nigga to king, so dismiss me as a nigga when I call you queen. Apple isn't far from the tree, which means I'm a root away from niggas falling towards me. Out in the sun, we catch vitamin D. I offer you the finer things. Could you catch the experience if I offered it for free? Liberation at its best. Couldn't catch a thing. It would separate materials and physicalities just to see if your mentality on knowledge of diamonds that determines if it's Zeus or Poseidon. I show you ocean. Do you want to fly like lightning, or is your mind set to coasting? All retrospective just to see who you are. I just got to ask the questions to explore your spectrum. So from now on, what we talk about ain't out the rectum. Rectifying, electrifying conversation just to probe your mind. You know what I'm saying? Boom, boom.
That was dope. That was dope to the max. Gonna be rich. That was really cool. So how old are you?
I am 23 years old.
23. That's a good number. 2023, man? What you got planned 5 years from now?
5 years? Well,
what you see for yourself?
In 5 years, it's almost like, you know, tomorrow's not promised. Of course, I have my plans in my head of how things are supposed to go or what I would like, you know, but I'm at this point in time, I'm just kind of letting things evolve as I'm going, because my biggest focus now is to keep moving, to keep consisting, you know what I'm saying, being persistent in what I'm looking to do for the rest of my life. Like, you know, this is, like I explained earlier, you know, this is going towards legacy, classic, things of that nature, longevity.
Okay.
You know, why would I aim short? For what?
Okay.
You know, if you're going to do something that's, you know, outside of going to college and, you know, going to outside of the norm, might as well be great at it.
You might make it worth it.
Make it worth it. Totally worth it. Definitely. I mean, come on. We live in a whole different generation now. Like, you see what type of money out here.
Real money.
Like, when you get to a point to where you have the advantage and you can just take advantage whenever you want at will, you can make the moves you need to make.
I got the moves.
There's money out here, like, sitting. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's just like, let's get it. I'm like, my focus is on the now, really.
Hey, even though we don't really need nobody else but God, I still think we need to rock with that Mr. Hudson Cat, the chess player, because he might could really get our minds sharp enough to, like, we can use the resources we got to really, you know, do some damage and turn up.
Okay. Why not? I mean, you know, just off of what you said, I trust it. I mean,
just, you know, something to
you gotta be around them and find out. I mean, you know, definitely, it sounds like a worthwhile. I mean
like
iron sharpens iron. That dude sounds like some steel to me, man.
Yeah. And he definitely agreed that that's definitely one of the ways to get better, just being around people who better and stuff. That's one person I can safely say is a bit better than me. So, I'm not even good like that. But, let's see. What you prefer to do is just for fun. That's when you're not doing poetry and your artistry.
Listening to music.
Listening to music.
Yeah.
You can't get,
like,
away from music, huh?
It's not that I can't get away from music because I watch anime.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That's a whole nother.
I mean, but anime got some of the dope.
That's
music
what I do. Yeah, that's what I do outside of, I watch anime.
Okay.
But I mean, that's cool. I watch anime, I watch shows that are interesting on Netflix.
You heard of American Gods?
No.
No? Okay. It's pretty insane.
But,
what I've seen.
Okay. Might check it out. Mm-hmm. But I don't be like,
what else?
Yeah. I listen to music. I'm a music listener as well, you know.
Okay, you listen to music?
Like, it's just like,
you're a fan of music.
I'm a fan of music.
That's great.
You know what I'm saying? That's what it all started from. I was a fan of music. Way back in elementary.
A bunch of other people's stuff other than your own stuff.
Yeah.
Uzi, Future.
You know,
fan of music.
I'm a fan of music.
Yeah,
you know, I love good music. I mean, I love to make good music, but I love good music. I mean, if it's good music, if it, you know what I'm saying, got a good rhythm, if I could feel it. I mean, the thing is, who are you to tell me what feels good to me?
All right, now I'm going to let you hear that one beat, because said that beat was whack. He wasn't fucking with it at all.
Okay.
But I'm going to let you hear it. You can let me know what you think, honestly.
Okay.
I wasn't upset either way. It's a lot of beats for everybody and shit.
Absolutely.
But let's see.
You know how that go.
Can you hoop? You're pretty tall. How tall are you?
I'm about 6'4". Not, I had my time hooping, but I'm the football player.
Okay.
That hooped. Okay. And I was physical.
Oh, okay.
How, I was real physical. I honestly, I was more like I'm getting fouled out because I'm so physical.
That's cool,
and
too,
I think
though.
Everybody else need to get their weight up.
Okay.
And it's not like I'm thinking that because I saw a video where this dude talking about it. I forgot his name. But it was just like I felt so guilty because I was like, oh my God, that's me. They used to call me Shaq.
Yeah.
They used to call me Shaq. Like, I spent my time playing basketball because I was like, shoot.
Yeah.
You know, back in high school, like, I was trying to, you know, I was doing football, but it was like they wouldn't let me play basketball.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, come on, man. Like, I'm telling the coach, like, come on, if you just train me how to, like, here I am. I'm like 6'2", I'm like 6'1", 6'2", in ninth grade. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, here I am, ready to learn a sport. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, hey, but yeah, they ain't want to take that time. And that says a lot about their coaching. And, you know, it is what it is, because I don't really give a fuck. I ain't in school no more. What they going to do, write me up?
Yeah,
like, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
It is what it is. It's just like, you know, fuck you. Fuck you, too. You ain't want to take time, you know, teach me. Fuck you. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it was like with school basketball, they never, you know, put me on the team. I never made the team. Didn't make the cut. And it is what it is.
Yeah.
But football was my thing.
Did somebody dunk? Did you go to tryouts?
I went to trials, but I wasn't a basketball player. Like, I don't. The thing is, not folks embarrassing me. No. It's more like out of ignorance, like of the game.
Oh, yeah, they dropped the ball. You could have. Any person that's actually come to, you got people that's good that don't come to the coach like, hey.
But I'm telling him, like, hey,
whatever.
Like, I don't know nothing. You know what I'm saying? I don't know nothing. And I'm like 6'1", 6'2". I'm like, as a coach, like, as somebody who I actually invest my time in people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that I am a coach, but, you know, I coach people. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just like, as, like, for somebody with that size, if I was a basketball coach, mm-hmm. I would have taught that kid how to freaking play.
Easy.
Easy. And
but you gotta think about it.
Yeah.
There's people like around your age right now, a little bit older.
Their team wasn't that damn big.
No, I'm just saying. They like at 24, 25, 26, like it's some, you know, people around our age that just don't give a fuck about the kids. So even if some kids did come to them, they'd be like, oh my God, here's a little nigga. Some shit like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess I care and shit, so.
You care. They apparently didn't.
Well, I mean, you know.
That shouldn't even be
that is true that, you know, everybody got different. Yeah, that's real shit. At the end of the day, though, you know, that was what it was. I wasn't supposed to be on that basketball team. I was supposed to be on the football team.
It's politics definitely in a lot of that school sports shit, big time.
I could believe it. The coach is talking like, I don't want him, mm-mm. But, I mean, at the same time, it's just like, but still, really? There's kids that actually, you know what I'm saying? But I know what you mean by that, the politics behind it. But it's just like, so, you know, because basketball didn't do it, football did it for me. And I was like, all right, they taught me how to play. They was like, all right, come on, we're going to get it. Let's go. Put on the pads.
What position you playing football?
Man, football. I started off defense. Defense. I was a defensive end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I did defensive end pretty much till 11th grade, like ended, like half of the season in 11th grade, because mm-hmm. he's my like baby star, which was Coach Star's son, took me off of defense 11th grade because I got injured at practice. A dude slid at my foot, bro.
With the cleats on?
No, he slid his body at my I'm the big nigga.
Oh, yeah.
They sliding at me.
See, that's what
trying to stop me and shit.
Yeah, they chop
blocking and shit. Fuck my Achilles up, bro. It is what it is, but you know what I'm saying?
It is what it is.
It was a little injury and shit, you know. But
gladiator sport, man.
On some gladiator sport shit. Like, that's what took me off of defense. But the thing is, it was a blessing in disguise because the next year I was a senior and I was starting offense. Now, mind you, I wasn't going to play my 12th grade year because of the fact that they hit me with that bullshit. And then I was like, I already don't want to play.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Did you get more girls when you was playing on the team?
I was always playing on the team. This is
no, I'm just saying.
I was just known as the football guy.
You was the football guy. Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. Junior year, I started playing. I was doing theater as well.
Okay, you started showing the range.
Mind you, I did track, shot put, and discus from ninth grade, too. I did, shot put and discus and defensive end from ninth grade.
Letterman guy.
Yeah, I was a definite Letterman guy, for sure. Yeah, so when you can only be surprised at how surprised people were.
Okay.
When I started doing theater in 11th grade. Okay. It was like.
Hey, this dude's really taking it there.
Mm-hmm.
Football jock doing the theater and shit, cool shit.
The football jock is doing theater and he's actually good at it.
And he's actually good.
He's actually good.
Let's pay attention to the shit.
I got awards for the plays I did. I did.
What school you was at?
High school. You know, I mean, people, because that's the thing, you know, as a big black man, people put me in the box.
Yeah.
And then as an artist, you already know people automatically ain't going to understand me. Because they're looking for me to be a certain person. I'm doing football, I'm doing this, that, and the other, so they're putting stereotypes on me that I'm this type of guy and that I'm bound to do this.
Okay.
And they don't even think about I'm bound to be great in something else. Because they so focused on this thing because it's the popular. The football and the sports and stuff is popular. It's going to get me a scholarship or whatever.
Oh, yep, that's what.
So, you know, exactly. And it was, and you know, but
they're not thinking about down the line this person being on TV.
They don't think about what actually makes me happy.
Nah, definitely not.
You know what I'm saying? It's not about my actual, set me up for.
It's about who can go to the NBA or the NFL?
Exactly.
Make some money out of this. Bitch.
Who is set me up to try to make? You know what I'm saying? More than $1,000. And honestly, you know, people mean well. I can't fault people.
I mean, when you really think about it, though.
I just know I wouldn't go about it that way.
Basketball stars is probably definitely getting paid more than the theater stars in high school.
Honestly, bro, I'm paving the way so that way I can be on some Will and Jada, real Will and Jalen shit. Goddamn, like on some shit like my kid can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Whatever, right?
Whatever he wants.
Be lit.
Like, that's lit.
That's
what I'm aiming for, because I'm aiming to get it out of the way, so that way, you know what I'm saying, my kid can be who he's meant to be, and not who me and his mom or whoever is forcing him, like, you know what I'm saying, like, subconsciously kind of forcing him into this person. We may not know what we're doing, you know? Just like parents, they're ignorant of what they do to you, because in their mind, they're doing what's best.
Legitly got a chance to pull the rap card out as a, you know, hustle to get some bread, as opposed to some of these other cats. That's what I
appreciate. Appreciate it. That Slayer stamp,
man. But who knows? Maybe that same talent, you know, might can translate in a different type of department.
Not even just different, bruh. Like. Rapping is just a step. Rapping, like, hip-hop in itself is a skeleton. It's it's not even the whole, you know, the whole body of the work. You know what I'm saying? It's my foundation to be able to have opportunity to do more. Because once I'm known as a hip-hop artist and a legit hip-hop artist, then other people are going to be coming at us with opportunities of what we can do with them, because they hear our shit and they be like, okay, this is hot. Okay, I see he actually talking about something. We have concepts. You know what I'm saying? We are fishing for the people we want to involve ourselves with. And shit, we may get they competitors. We may be fishing for one type of person, and they competitors might hit us up. And the people we actually fish for, we may not even get them. And that's okay.
That's true, too.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that all that is what it is. But at the end of the day, all this is a foundation to get us to that money that's out here. Like I said, all this shit is out here. Mm-hmm. It's out here. Once we lay the foundation, bro, like, shit, the universe will goddamn shift for us. As long as we consistently create, as long as we are, you know what I'm saying, consistently bringing out these positive vibes, you know,
gotta keep
the positive vibes.
Now more than ever.
Boy, what?
I see it just like whatever we saying, like it's coming about in different ways and stuff. So we need to keep that positive energy flowing, man. What type of food you into right about now?
Man, actually, I rock with Vietnamese pho, and it's spelled pho, and I like the shrimp pho, and I like the beef pho.
I definitely like, bruh, the beef pho. I want to try the shrimp pho.
Yeah, it's really good. But and I actually like it with the herbs and shit in it, like with all the, not all of them, but yeah, I like all with even, yeah, all that shit. I put it all in there. I'd be like, yeah, I want the authentic.
Authentic? So you feel like you can go to actual where?
Oh, I know a place called Soba. It's a place called Soba in East Atlanta Village. Soba. Too bad they ain't paying me for this. But hey.
I know, right?
I'm shouting them out and shit. But yeah, man. I ride with Soba in East Atlanta Village, but there's this one in the city, though. I ain't going even.
What else? What
else? Have to pull up. The ramen because of Naruto. Shout out to Naruto. Fucking me.
Okay.
Goddamn. Man, honestly, I cook. Like, I just make whatever.
Cooking is great.
I'm slick an alchemist, bro. I just go in there and just whip up whatever's in the kitchen. Like,
and you just know how to make it.
Yeah. And that's shout out to Uncle. Because he the one who showed me that, all, you know what I'm saying, all these different ways and mechanisms making food. Taught me how to make an omelet type shit.
That's gonna come in handy.
That's definitely going to come in handy.
Shout out, Uncle.
Definitely.
Oh, man, we flowing. You know? 33 minutes of stuff.
And we still on the motherfucking airwaves.
We still rolling.
Let's say this again. This is AKA
chilling with, you already know, slaying everything, including this interview. Gatorade or Powerade?
That's a good one. See, I'm rocking Powerade because it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
But Gatorade has a sweeter little taste to it.
It's lit, dude.
That I really fuck with because I actually play because you know I actually did play football and I actually like did drink Gatorade during the game. We actually did have like Gatorade, like, yeah.
Y'all had the Gatorade powder mix.
The powder mix, bro. The powder mix.
Even the powder mix.
We had the powder mix on lock, bro.
Okay.
Definitely. We was in there a bit with that shit, bro.
Yeah, we got the Powerade sometime, but most of the time we had the Gatorade. You can definitely tell the difference.
Yeah, you can.
But Powerade rock out, too, and it's definitely clutch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Powerade has saved my thirst and quenched my thirst so many times.
Look how huge the bottle is. Why can't like, bottles don't be coming like this for real?
You know they know why. They got the ingredients.
Oh, because Gatorade came out first.
Oh, really?
I mean,
I could believe that.
I mean, mean, they came out first, but they Powerade could make their shit a little bit sweeter, man.
They could.
In a cooler way.
They could.
Gatorade, when you thirsty, damn near tastes like Kool-Aid.
Bro, what? I ain't want to say that. I ain't want to go there. I ain't want to go to the hood, Dave. I was like, hey, this shit really kind of tastes like Kool-Aid, but it's really like thirst quencher type shit.
Oh my gosh, I haven't had Kool-Aid in so long.
Like, bruh.
Why were we drinking that? Like a pound of sugar.
Because you could just put the sugar in the motherfucking water in that bitch. And just
so much sugar.
Put packets in that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Have a whole gallon.
I didn't even think about mixing it till later on.
That shit, you save a lot of money, like drinking the Kool-Aid, if you think about it.
It was a staple of the.
It only amounted to about $3. Made you some Kool-Aid every week. Use half a pound or a quarter of it.
You were happy as shit. You got fucking Kool-Aid.
As long as the nigga had Kool-Aid, bro, we good.
No sugar.
Oh, no. That's a whole nother stress right there. Mm-hmm. Kool-Aid, no sugar.
Oh, my God. That's the word. I remember drinking Kool-Aid with no sugar and just how horrible that was tasting.
Just might as well drink some water.
definitely. All of that. You know about the alkaline water and stuff like that?
And that's pretty much the healthiest of the healthiest water.
Okay. Brother Conscious is woke about this thing, man. If you don't mind, do you have any Brother Conscious soliloquies that you would like to, you know, go on?
Well, actually, you know, there's this biggest thing that, cool, yeah, Instagram. And I'll go into that. Man, so, right. Man, you know, my biggest advice to all the artists that's starting out and really looking to have longevity with what they're doing, you know, just creating the mindset of consistency and persistence. You know, things happen to where the bumps in the road come and you start thinking, like, I can't do this anymore. What I'm doing right now is pretty much giving up on myself. I'm like, nah. I got to find a better way to get this money. Because, you know, what it all comes down to is niggas be broke and they be like, yo, hold up. But there's a thing that we have to realize, you know. Whatever we do, our time is precious. It's all going to add up in the end. And it's just like, you know, at the end of the day, what football told me was just that struggle is, you know what I'm saying, necessary to get to the top of what you're trying to get to. You have to struggle a little bit. Hold on. So, I have this poem. And this is a poem called Invictus. And this is by William Ernest Henley. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody, but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. So.
That was dope as well, man. Oh, man. Well, I appreciate you for your time, though.
Definitely, man. Definitely.
And the words of wisdom and just, you know, everything. I'm excited about your future. I'm definitely going to
I appreciate that.
In touch after this interview. And, I'm signing off. This is a wrap.